Amen. Thank you, Art. Good morning, everybody. Well, welcome to Westview Community Church, and we're glad you're here. This is just a great way to start the morning. Start and see your faces, and we get to worship like that together. Amen? That's a good start. So, hey, for our guests, we're glad you're here, too. We're really glad you're hanging out with us today. I want to remind you, after the service, it's kind of the end of the month, that if you've been coming to Westview just today or just for a few Sundays, we would love to meet you right after the service underneath the cross. We call it meet and greet. We'd like a chance to sit down and get to know you, so some of the staff will be over there. But just hang out a few minutes with us afterwards. And also, when you walked into our guests, you got a worship guide that looks like this. On the back are these sermon notes. You're going to see them kind of pop up overhead here as we go along. My name is Brian Smith. I'm our lead pastor, and I want to jump right back into actually last week. I want to go back and just recap the celebration. Did you have a great Easter here last Sunday? We did. It was a great worship event, and I want to kind of recap that. We just spent, in that sermon, we just spent a little bit of time at the very first event of Easter morning, and that was with the two Marys at the tomb. And the tomb was empty, and we learned a lot from an angel sitting on a stone. We learned that we don't have to be fearful ever again. We learned that Jesus isn't in a tomb. Amen. He's risen physically, spiritually, new. He is risen. And we learned that the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let us in, to come and see the risen King. And the last thing we learned from this angel on a stone was that death has been defeated. That gets one more amen. Amen. And that is so important for us, and that is the center. The resurrection story is at the center of our Christianity. Without it, we aren't here, and we aren't celebrating today. And so we had a great time celebrating, but that was just like the first hour or so of Sunday morning, that first Easter Sunday morning. So we have to ask the question, well, what happened after? Well, I went right ahead, and it's like everybody went home. They took a nap. They read the news, played with kids in the yard. They hunted a few Easter eggs, and they filled up their baskets. No, that's not what happened at all on the first Easter morning. From that place by the tomb where we were on Easter morning, everything ignited. This first note together, the first Easter sparked a church with hearts on fire. It started soon after that encounter with the angel on that first Easter day. Individual followers started to encounter the risen Jesus. Mary Magdalene encountered Jesus in the flesh and saw him, and she went and told the others. Peter and John come running, and they looked in the tomb, and then Peter saw Jesus, and he went and he told, and their hearts were lit on fire, everybody running and telling everybody. And then there's this encounter in the afternoon where we see two people walking along this road to a town called Emmaus, 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And on the way, Jesus appears to them. They don't even know he's walking with them. And he's walking with them. They share time with him. And it isn't towards the end that Jesus reveals who he is. And they're like, that was Jesus. But they said this in Luke 24:27. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us? As he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us, now their hearts were on fire. And they ran back 7 miles to tell the others. This is still the first day. And then that evening, the day wasn't over yet, that first Easter Sunday, then that evening, they all came together. And then this happened. So I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John. Starting in chapter 20, in verse 19. And we're going to hang in this scripture for a little while. And so this is what's going on that first Sunday evening. We're going right into the Word, and we'll have the words right up here overhead for you to see too. So it says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So all the excitement comes to that room that evening. They're all there. They're behind locked doors. Can you imagine everything they're processing? All the strangeness of this day, all the newness, all the excitement, all the fear from the Jewish leaders who are trying to do everything they can to squash what's going on. And Jesus is right there. And he says, "Peace be with you," a common greeting, but I think it meant a lot more that night because he knew the peace that wasn't inside them. And he showed them, "Hey, look at the wounds. Look at the wounds from the spear. Look at the wounds from the nails." And the minute they saw that, they were filled with joy. It ignited their hearts on fire. And now we see, with them all clustered together, this movement from ignition to combustion as joy and fire start to spread to the whole group. And these are the first steps of the new church. As many gathered, hearts on fire for joy, there is hope. He is risen. And Jesus says this last thing to him, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And what that means to me is that they're moving from hearts on fire to hair on fire. And I know I use that phrase a lot, so let me just tell you, what people say, "Brian, where do you get that from, the hair on fire thing?" Because I think it's movement of a changed heart in relationship with Christ to visible and audible. That's what I mean by hair on fire. But I'll confess where it comes from. It comes from the movie Top Gun. That one scene with Charlie, his love interest, Maverick's love interest, and his instructor, and she says, "Maverick," she goes, "you're not going to be happy unless you're going Mach 2 with your hair on fire." So that's what I always think. So I always think of, that's the joy of Christ in me. I'm not going to be happy unless I'm going Mach 2 with my hair on fire. So that's a movement from here to here. It's visible and audible. So that's what this sermon series is about. We're going to call it Ignite. So we have one visual here for you that we can do for the next few weeks. Wow. So Ignite. This is about igniting individually. Changing here. Hearts on fire. Just like the guys on the road to Emmaus. And it's about individual ignition of our hearts that spreads into an entire church and we just watch combustion go. How do we ignite from Easter Sunday and not go back to the routine? How do we keep that fire kindled in our hearts and our hair on fire every week, all the time? It's like it's Resurrection Day every day. How do we learn from the ends of the Gospels and the book of Acts and the letters of the early churches to watch that fire permeate and spread? Ignition is a formula. If you want to talk about ignite, we can just look at a simple physics formula. And this is our next note. So we're going to talk about it, kind of combining it with spirituality here a little bit. Have fun. Holy ignition requires these things, just like physics. It requires first a spark. It requires a source of heat. What sparks us into action? The second thing it requires is fuel. What is that latent fuel inside our hearts? What is the reserve in here that a spark can ignite? And the third thing is oxygen. What is the power that makes flames leap and move without restriction? And the fourth thing is combustion. What happens when many are on fire together, and how does that spread and grow? So that's a physics formula for combustion. But we're going to talk about holy combustion. It starts with holy ignition right here in each of us and spreads through all of us. So there you got a view of 4 weeks coming up. So this week we're going to talk about the spark. And the rest of the weeks we'll talk about those other elements. So as we head towards the spark, let's talk about one thing. When we go back to that story in John 20, and we're looking at the verses there, there was one disciple actually who wasn't there. There's one disciple who was missing from the group. And you may know part of the story. His name was Thomas. And we don't know where Thomas was. He simply wasn't there that first Easter night when Jesus appeared to the whole group. My guess is that Thomas was crushed by the death of Jesus. And he was despondent, he was scared, he was hopeless, and he shrunk back from the faith community. And so let's pick up there in John 20, verse 24. It says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, whose nickname, the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And they told him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and I put my fingers into them and I place my hand into the wound in his side. You might have heard about this Apostle Thomas. He's often called, what's he called? Don't you hate it when you do one thing in your life and you get a nickname, right? So he gets this nickname, Doubting Thomas. And I was talking to Art about this. It's so unfair. One guy does one thing. We don't see anything else that shows. He had no more doubt in him than all the other apostles and all the followers who are struggling with something that's so brand new. Resurrection is so new to any of them. This is a concept that all of us are trying to grasp. They're all doubting. Thomas does it once, and he gets a nickname for his whole life. How many here got a nickname you're carrying your whole life from a single incident? I had one in high school. It was Hyper. I have no idea where that one come from, but it was not fair. And when we look at this, we look at Thomas, everybody was struggling with doubt. Thomas was hurt and broken about Jesus dying. And when he arrives there and everybody else is talking about it and they're all excited about it, I think it just amplified it. It just simply escalated the hurt to the point where he'd say something like, I won't believe it unless I can put my fingers here and my hand here. This is that one place where we see Thomas expressed doubt. But Thomas, when we look at him in other references, he was very committed to Christ. You go back just a short while earlier when Jesus was saying, we got to go back to Bethany and we're going to, and Lazarus is sick, and actually they find out Lazarus is dead, and he's going to go back to raise Lazarus. Well, Bethany was really close to Jerusalem. Last time they were there, they were trying to stone Jesus. And so the other disciples said, yeah, we're not too excited about going back to Judea. We're not too excited about going back to Bethany, Lazarus or not. Last time we were there, it was at the threat of our lives. But Thomas said in John 11, let us go also that we may die with him. Thomas was very committed to Christ. And so we're seeing here in that day, the early disciples, the Christian church, is starting to explode in a good way. Shortly after Jesus' resurrection, but they're dealing with these challenges. And their biggest enemy right now is doubt. They're all struggling in some ways with doubt. But maybe we left last Easter kind of hyped. I mean, it was a great day. I needed a nap. But it wasn't long before we're back into the routine, right? And the news of the risen Christ no longer occupies our thoughts. And it's like that kind of gets moved to the back burner. And I think if we're honest, as we go around the room, we've all struggled with doubt sometime. I mean, even as you're growing as a Christian, you come into new concepts and new ways to see the Lord, and he reveals himself. And you got to struggle through that doubt as you grasp that. And the reasons why we might really identify here with Thomas, deeply, in heart and mind and struggle, is that we live in a culture today that has little room for spiritual and supernormal stories of faith. This is why doubt's easy. We live in a culture that tends to write off the miraculous, and we have more faith in our human accomplishment in science. If we can't prove it, I'm not sure we're going to believe it. And not even to say in our Christian life, the spiritual battle that rages all the time around in us, and in that battle, we get tired, we struggle, and we doubt. Continuing on in John 20, a week would go by, a whole week from that first Easter morning, and Thomas remains heartbroken. He remains buried in doubt. Thomas probably has a week of sleepless nights wondering, what's going on? Why haven't I seen this? And it's just like today. We're going to pick up in the scripture. It's 1 week from Easter. Just like today is 1 week from Easter, and we're going to pick up right there in John 20, 26. And before I get to that, here's the note. Thomas, this is what we need. Thomas's doubt needed a spark. Thomas was not ignited. And he was looking for a spark. Everybody else had the spark. I like the spark. And that spark comes as we continue in the story of John. That spark was an encounter with Jesus. And so we pick that up in John 26. It says, 8 days later, the disciples, so we're a week after Easter here, the disciples were together again. And this time, Thomas was with them. The doors, again, were locked. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. And he turns right to Thomas. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand here and the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And Thomas exclaims, my Lord and my God. So we are a week later. Tom's with them. They're in community. They're with believers. The doors are locked, and that still doesn't stop Jesus. And he says the same thing. Peace be with you, because he knows the doubts. He knows the excitement. He knows they're wrestling. But right away, he encounters Thomas. Go ahead, Thomas. Put your fingers here. Put your hand here, where that spear was. Stop doubting. And we don't know if Thomas did. It doesn't say. But we know what Thomas did. Thomas did say the biggest statement of faith and worship we'll ever see. One of the biggest ones in there, my Lord and my God. Thomas encountered a spark, and now you watch his heart burn. And while we don't see a lot of Thomas, most of the apostles are referenced, you know, in group and stuff, we don't see a lot. Tradition holds that Thomas, as a church, would go out from here, and as the Holy Spirit was poured upon them, and Thomas has a church tradition that he eventually would go to India, and that he would share the gospel in India. It would be the primary, his purpose. And then we find out that eventually Thomas actually was martyred with a spear through his side, is what church tradition holds. So for us, there, you know, we listen to stories and it's like, yeah, Thomas got it now. Everybody's got it. Thomas has got it. But I'm still missing one thing. This isn't fair. This one sense of doubt we all still have is like no fair because Thomas got to see Jesus. And we're here. That's the spark that changed him. We haven't seen Jesus like that. So let's go to this last note together. More blessed are those who believe without seeing. More blessed are those who believe without seeing. And so let's pick back up in John 20, starting verse 29. Then Jesus told Thomas, he said, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. That part of the scripture is for us. Those who follow, blessed are those who believe without seeing. We have to take full advantage of the blessed era that we're in, the era that we have the completed Word of God. Thomas did not have this. We have the entire Bible, the story from start to finish, and there's even a chapter that hasn't happened yet, a whole book of what hasn't happened. We have that all. Thomas didn't have that. We have the whole story. We're blessed to see and encounter God through his word and encounter Christ through his word. We also have the power of the resurrected Christ tangibly seen in the expansion of the gospel throughout the world, in lives, in families, in churches, and in nations, all made new. You can't miss this. Hearts ignited, on fire everywhere. And though we do not see the Lord, we can trust His written word to ever draw our hearts to Him and rejoice in the same joy that they had written in these scriptures, the joy that those early disciples had. We also have the Holy Spirit that Thomas didn't have right here, but he would a short while later. But we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to correct us, to convict us, and to help us with our doubt. And remember this, doubt is not the opposite of belief. The opposite of belief is unbelief. Doubt is not the opposite of belief. Real, authentic faith can say, I can doubt at times. I can doubt like the others. I'm in good company throughout this whole Bible. And I'll be honest with my feelings. Real, authentic faith says, when I read the scripture, I see the disciples were honest about their doubts. And Jesus helped them along as they kept following Him. I think that's why Jesus kept showing up for 40 more days, because they all wrestled with doubt. And He kept encountering them and re-sparking. The key is to stay true to your deep belief in God. And follow Jesus wholeheartedly, even when the doubts creep in. We too need that spark that comes from the encounter in the relationship with Christ. Don't run away from God when you doubt. Use it as an opportunity to get closer to Jesus like Thomas did. So close that we can touch His hands and place our hand in His side. That close. Can I get an amen out of all that? But I can't think of a better way to talk about a spark in our life that ignites our hearts than what we see through baptism. This is the original spark. The best way to visualize and celebrate this spark is in baptism. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward change in our hearts. It's expressing publicly that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I've had an encounter with Him, and it's changed me here, and I'm burning here, and I'm burning here. Immersion in the water is an expression of leaving my old self behind, being laid down in the water, and I'm sharing symbolically with Christ and His death and resurrection. I'm rising new, clothed new, different day, different person, different worldview, different journey. I rise up forgiven and a follower of Him. So would you welcome with me, we had three in the first service, would you welcome with me three people up here on the stage that we want to share with in baptism today. Would you give them a big, bold round of applause? Come on up, y'all. Now in Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, there's we have a little bit of a church tradition here that we love. There's this scripture that says that there's more rejoicing in heaven when one turns, repents, and follows God. And so what that means is that the heavens roar in angelic chorus when one, just one, turns and decides to follow Christ. So we as a church try to outroar the roar. So when they come up out of the water, we love to rejoice, because I think most people in this room know exactly what's happening here today and know the ignition that's happening in our hearts. Amen? So let's make sure that we try as hard to outdo the angels, but I think we ought to give it a shot, right? All right. So Let's see, we're starting with Elizabeth. We want to start with you today. Everybody, would you welcome Elizabeth Teague? Garrick, you want to join me? Yeah. No cell phones? Well, you can. We'll hold it here in the dry part for you. Been heating this up all night. Isn't it nice? Okay, hold tight right there. Everybody, this is Elizabeth Teague, her husband Garrick. And Elizabeth, what would you like to share with us today?
I'm going to try not to be a mess, but I don't think it's going to work. I was baptized as a baby, and that's always been really special to me. So this has been very thought out for years. My uncle actually baptized me. My dad reminded me of that. And as a kid, when I was told of that, I would go down and look at my my baptism certificate and cherish it because I knew that I was welcome into God's family. So when people told me as I grew older that I needed to do this because I wasn't saved until I was baptized for real as an adult, or a point of maturity, I really had to take a step back. I felt like someone was taking something from me, that saying I didn't belong. And today I'm here because I'm not doing it for anybody that told me, that said I needed to do it. I'm doing it because I asked Jesus who he was. And I wanted to know how he saw me. So, trying to retrace. I need to know who he is so I can see how he sees me. And I looked at what he said to John the Baptist when he got baptized, and that always puzzled me because John didn't know why he needed to baptize Jesus. And Jesus responded to him, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." And it hit me like a ton of bricks that Jesus did that because he said to follow me, and he's living out an example for us. He said, "Elizabeth, I did this so that you could do it, to be closer to me, so that you know me." And in 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So I'm here to say that I don't know, I can't fathom who Jesus is fully, but I have the rest of eternity to find out, and this is just one step along the way.
Okay, Elizabeth, I'll have you sit right there. Go ahead and grab your elbow. Elizabeth, based upon your bold profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, of his Son Jesus, and of the Holy Spirit, who will guide you all the days of your life. Hey, everybody. Ooh, yep, grab that out of there. Got it. All right, you want to hand that to your dad for just a second? And this is everybody. This is Elias. This is the son of Elizabeth and Garrick. And I want to invite up his grandfather. This is Greg, who is a pastor at a church in Leavenworth. And he's going to join us, too. So we're going to get you to step into the deep part. You ready? All right. Elias, would you like to share, or would you like?
I am reciting what Elias told me about why he wanted to get baptized. God has done a lot of stuff for us. He's answered my prayers. He's given us money and food. He loves us, so I want to love him. So I want to die to what I want and live for what Jesus wants.
Wow. Craig, did you want to join in on this side? Do you want to shake? Okay, sure. All right, last one, we just sit right there on that edge. Okay, and we'll put one hand on here and just block your nose so we don't take it. Then take your other hand right here. Good job. Elias, that was an awesome profession of faith. So we're going to baptize you now in the name of the Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who will guide you every day of your life. All right, everybody, would you welcome Anastasia and her dad, Roger. Anastasia, would you share with us why you're here today?
Okay, so when I was in Ukraine, I was praying to God that I get adopted with my friends, Lyosha and Andre. I was praying for so long. I was like crazy about it. And eventually I started losing faith that it's actually going to happen. And then one day, it happened. God actually answered my prayer. And that's when I started believing in God. And I wasn't actually following him, but I was believing in him. I did so many mistakes. I just decided I'm going to baptize as soon as I can and just going to follow God. Just be with him. So today is the day.
Yeah. Go ahead and block your nose out and then take this hand right here. Good. Anastasia, upon your beautiful profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who will guide you every day of your life. So at Westview, we always take an opportunity, because it takes a while to fill the tank and warm it up, but we always look at this opportunity that if today's the day the Lord is saying that, you know what, I've been waiting way too long. I understand that I've never made that profession of faith publicly, but I've never committed my life to Christ, but today's that day. We're ready for you right now. We even got the free t-shirt that goes with it. So we do the obligatory, we wait 20 minutes. Until everybody's, we make sure we got everybody. So is anybody today is being drawn out into the aisle saying, you know what, today's the day I got to start. And we're ready for you. Hey. Art. I'm going to have you talk to Pastor Art for just a second, okay? Okay, while he's talking with him just really quick. I want to go over announcements. This is a great part to do announcements. So a couple of things that I want to kind of clear off the plate here is that, one, we have a Grapple fundraiser today. That means our youth, our children, third through fifth grade, are making pretzels. They've been making pretzels all morning over here in the kitchen, and they're going to be available out there. If you would give a kind gift to them, that helps us raise funds to send the children in the third to fifth grade to camp this summer who normally probably couldn't afford that. And so you get a great deal on these awesome, like, fresh pretzels. And so before you leave today, if you smell pretzel, that is a sign that you should stop and bless them so we can send as many as possible to camp. And so that's one. And then the second one is a week from this Sunday, May 5th, is local church conference. It's kind of a stale word, but it's a time where our whole church comes together. We meet that evening, so next Sunday evening here at church. We have ice cream, but we celebrate the last year of the church. We kind of summarize what God's doing through us, and then we cast the vision of what's going on over the next year. We'll be sharing stories of what God's doing amongst our church. And we also, we elect positions within our church, and we also decide on the budget. There is a little bit of business that goes on there also. Over the past few years, we've had about 50 to 75 people show up, but this is a church of 400. Young families, I really want you coming to this meeting. This is your church, and this is a church that you inherit and that you're going to grow up into. We need your leadership, and we need you involved to know what's going on in the church. And we have ice cream. Did I say that yet? We have ice cream that night, so we really want everybody, to be involved with us. So, you got it? So make sure you're here next Sunday night, and we'll go from there. Hey, everybody, could you welcome? Yeah. This is Uriah, and this day has been coming.
Dirt bike socks, right? They're the best ones, but they're a little longer.
Come on in, Uriah. The water's great.
It is. It's warm.
And this is Uriah's parents. Right here with him. We good? All right. So, Uriah, share with us why you're here today.
I'm here today because I feel like God's telling me it's my time to get baptized.
Okay, and today's the day. You've been on this journey a while, haven't you? You've been thinking about this for a while. And so today's the day. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. You know, today's the day where you, let's have you sit right there. You want to join in with me? Want to be? This is kind of a day where you say you drive a stake in the ground, right? It's like today you mark this day. It's like today I'm a follower of Christ. And you always have this day to come back to no matter what happens in life. You always have this day that nobody can take away from you, right? Okay. All right, so we're going to get you to plug your nose with one in. There you go. This hand we'll put right here. So Uriah, based upon your profession of faith, your bold profession of faith, your spontaneous profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that was only a minute we waited, right? So we still have 19 minutes we can wait for anybody else. Is there anybody else today? Because it does take a long time to set this up, so we just want to make sure. We good? Because if you're being drawn out, today is that day. Okay, hey, let's pray on these guys. Would you bow your heads with me and we pray on them? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these bold expressions of faith. Thank you for hearts that just ignited right in front of us, and we're going to watch their hair on fire in the days ahead as they share who Christ is in their life, in their body, their speech, their words. And so, Father, this is hard. This is a bold profession in a world that seems to really be pushing back. And Father, they are set apart for you now. And so we ask your Spirit to guide, protect them each day, to grow them and strengthen them, even through hardship, persecution, struggles, but also that they would know exactly what we've seen in John 20, that they would know the joy of hearts that are now on fire for Christ. So bless them, keep them, guide them until the day we're all together in eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give them a big round of applause, please? Thank you, guys. So could we have the ushers come forward for the offering, please? And won't we bow our heads and pray too, together, that this offering we have today is a special form of worship. And each individual expression here of that worship, that, Father, we hold that up to you now. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Gospel of John. We thank you so much that a week later our hearts are still on fire because Christ is risen. We are freed. And now we just can't shut up about him. Father, thank you for six lives today that have dedicated you to step out and be bold in a world that's going to push back, but they're going to experience the joy the disciples experienced in living for you and following your son, and one day us all being together. So, Father, guide and protect them. But here's our own offering. As those of us are still in the seats and not sure about this, Father, I ask, there might be doubt still in this room today. It's okay. Father, with your spirit, help them wrestle with doubt. So one day their offering to you is, I'm going to give you my life. Jesus, I'm a follower of you. And that those decisions can grow in our heart today. Father, our other expression of offering is all of our time, our gifts, our service to you. Because there are 4 billion people that do not know your son today. And this church is so igniting in so many ways. There's so much combustion, but we need everybody. And our offering is that, our time, our sacrifice, our money, our giving, everything to move the mission of your church so that all will know Christ. That is our best that we can do, is to give you all of our heart, soul, and mind, which will still never compare to the price that Christ paid for us on the cross. But that is our offering to you, Father, today. Open our hearts wide, ignite our hearts, and light our hair on fire. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.